Welcome to Smashy Business at home. The UAE is experiencing some rain. So good morning from home. Again, I'm Lubna Hamdan.
And I'm Farah Bashir, joining Lubna from home as well.
Nice. You know, I really like the setup, Farah. I'm not going to lie.
Actually, this is my room. You know, this is my room. Last time when we did it from home, it was from the kitchen. And yeah, I have plants. If you see plants, you just need to know that's my area.
You need to, that's nice, because in my area, you wouldn't see any plants because they all die on my watch. So nice. Love it. We need a little bit of a home tour or something, or an at-home studio at this point.
Yes, my room is filled with plants here and there, and I water them every day. So it's a good thing that I like to do.
Very nice. Love it. My room is just filled with stacks of money.
Okay. Well, this is the business side.
I wish, Farah, I wish. I'll go through the headlines real quick. Floyd Mayweather is stuck in Dubai until he repays his debts. It was a lot of money. Floyd money Mayweather. The irony. I had to do that joke right there. And there's a new $13,000 fine for real estate brokers. Spinneys has also become the most oversubscribed private listing in the history of the DFM. Really exciting stuff for Spinneys. And an exclusive on our part, the Nakheel senior managers and chiefs who left right after CEO Atallah's departure following the merger with Maidan into Dubai Holding. And then a salon owner is telling customers, if you don't show up, we don't get paid. She's talking about the cancellation policy, and she's received some backlash. And last but not least, two more stories. UAE insurance companies are raising prices by 30% after the storm, taking a little bit of advantage right there. Swvl has posted $3.1 million in net profits as well. So great news for Swvl.
Interesting points.
Very interesting. Various diverse topics for today's episode. So there's something here for everyone, a little something, something for everyone. How is it on your side? Let's talk a little bit about the weather today, a little bit about the rain. It wasn't as bad. The rainfall obviously was not as heavy as last time. But the winds were gushing through the night. We all heard them. We all saw them. How is it on your side, Farah?
Well, I was actually telling Casey on the morning show this morning is that I am a heavy sleeper because I do take like some supplements and vitamins to, you know, because I just like to get into deep sleep and sleep to me is very sacred. So I did not feel a thing. However, I woke up and while I was doing this show, there was like this massive, thick, dark, almost black cloud that just like came through, and I was like, oh my god, that's actually insane. And I got out to the balcony because I have a balcony, and it was raining. And even, by the way, I have like a small chair at the balcony. I woke up and it was on the floor. Yeah. How's it on your side?
Yeah, no, the guns, oh my gosh, the winds were really, really gushing, very, very, very strong winds, starting, I believe, 3 a.m. or even a little bit before 3 a.m. But good thing the UAE was prepared this time. They opened, the drainage on the street. We saw that yesterday. So it's good to see it's not that bad, excuse me, this time around. Floyd Money Mayweather, do you follow him? Do you follow boxing? Do you follow any UFC, anything like that?
To be honest with you, no, I don't. But I'm aware of him. I'm aware of, you know, of his boxing career.
I mean, how can you not be aware of him? He is everywhere, isn't he?
He is, exactly. I mean, I do know him and so on, but I do not follow, honestly, I don't follow him.
He's known for taking, you know, doing any ad whatsoever, even if it's a really, you know, low quality production, whatever it is, Mayweather will do it, whatever it is. There are these really funny ads that he posts on his Instagram. He's just all about volume, all about quantity, and definitely not quality. There are these really funny, extremely random ads on his Instagram. It's funny. So, what is not funny, however, is that he's stuck in Dubai. Apparently, he owes people in Dubai and Saudi Arabia a lot of money. That's according to Gervonta Tank Davis, who's his. They were once friends, but also rivals now. So they kind of keep going back and forth. So Tank claimed in a video and on his social media that Mayweather owes people in Dubai and Saudi Arabia money. He claimed in several posts that Mayweather is unable to leave. He's got a lot of outstanding payments to make, which led the authorities to step up and basically, allegedly, he claims to put a travel ban on him. Having a travel ban is not fun. I will tell you that. And that's all I will say. But Mayweather has been posting that he's in Dubai. That's why fans are believing Tank. Mayweather has been posting on his Instagram that he's been in Dubai since the beginning of April. So it's probably true.
Actually, I think because, of course, there is no doubt that Floyd is a public figure. Let's say he's a public figure. He is, as you said, he's a boxer. And he is he must have like some kind of like a fan base and so on. And I feel like personally that when celebrities or public figures get into the public figure community, there is an image that they need to persevere in a way. And so they start, like, of course, not everyone can afford a lot of things. And what happens is, in order to keep the image going, they probably he just like had like, I don't know, borrowed money from people, and then later on could not pay his debt. Whether it's like a credit card or whether it's from people or specifically people for like businessmen. And then like when it gets like a point where he probably couldn't pay them back. So that's what I'm expecting, honestly, because that's what I can imagine is that as a public figure, it's a very hard life to keep up with the fashion, the lifestyle, the and the list goes on and on, you know what I mean?
He certainly doesn't skimp on his outfits or his jewelry or
Yes,
his art
yes.
like that. So hey, you know what? Good luck, Floyd, money, Mayweather. Good luck to you. But you know what? I'll say one thing. It's not Dubai is not a bad place to get stuck in. RERA is cracking down on brokers yet again. This time for off-plan projects. So the fine is 13.6, so $13,600, according to a recent update from the Real Estate Regulatory Agency. Brokers can no longer advertise specific units within an off-plan project. This is what we were talking about coincidentally the other day when I told you a lot of people have been screwed over by off-plan projects because they go and they see, excuse me, the model unit, and then when the project is actually delivered, it certainly does not look the same. So
Sure.
brokers can now either get a specific advertising NOC, no objection certificate with details from the developer, obtain a unit level permit from DLD, the Dubai Land Department, or ensure all advertisement details precisely match the unit information on the DLD permit. It's really great to see RERA and DLD do this. RERA is obviously part of the Dubai Land Department. Failing to comply with these new regulations will be costly. As we mentioned, brokers caught advertising individual units within a project face hefty fines of up to, in dirhams, it would be 50,000, and also a potential suspension of up to 3 months.
And that is honestly the smartest thing that can be done, because when, let's say, as an investor, I want to invest in something that is not developed yet, it's still, under the process, and then I get kind of like scammed, Because I figured out that none of the things that has been mentioned in the description prior to me buying the property is later on not true. That is itself like I literally got scammed, right? So I feel like honestly, like the penalty and the consequences are fair. And it's good that.
Look at you. You've gone from what we were gossiping about something yesterday. We spoke about everything from dating apps to influencers, and now you're calling yourself an investor. I love
I
it.
mean, because actually, investing is something that I've been having on my mind. You know what I mean? Like as sometimes as lifestyle as I can be, I do think that I would want to invest, and I have like made this like clear to my family, like, hey, I would want to invest, but they all have the same fear that you have told me earlier, that what if like the property is not that is mentioned, because if you get property that is undeveloped, it's cheaper than when it's developed.
Sure. But RERA is cracking down. So who knows? I mean, these rules are great. The brokers were doing a lot of these. I wouldn't call them scams. It's not exactly a scam, but advertising units on Property Finder, Beiyut, that are no longer there, or playing with the pricing, putting up images that don't actually match the property at
That's
all. So, but no, when it comes to investment, I mean, I'm absolutely serious. Everyone should look into investing, be it property, be it whatever it is. So, I love that, Farah. I love that for you,
you.
honestly.
Growth.
Absolutely. And hey, like I'm looking for growth and lifestyle as well. So let's chat about that later on after the show. Dubai supermarket chain Spinneys raised $19.3 billion in its IPO, breaking records for being oversubscribed 64 times in aggregate, leading to the highest level of demand and oversubscription for a private listing on the DFM. How wonderful is that? Investors swiftly acquired all shares on offer moments after the books opened last week. Someone told me yesterday that she was really surprised that it was Spinneys. And it was Casey, actually, from the Love in Dubai show. She said, really, really surprised that Spinneys is the most oversubscribed in DFM history. And then she mentioned a great point, which is there is that hype going around the DFM, the Tadawul, the GCC stock markets are seeing a lot of activity, the highest activity, the most exciting activity in such a long time. So she said a lot of people who missed out on whether it was Parkin, whether it was, another company, they're looking to now take part in Spinneys and other IPOs. So that's wonderful.
I mean, honestly, Spinneys, I love Spinneys. I don't know why. I just like love grocery shopping and so on. Spinneys as well is known for its, I would say, organic ingredients, organic fruits, organic, a lot of, I don't know. It's just like I love it. I don't know what is it about Spinneys that just gives me the vibe of like, hey, everything here is organized, everything here is clean. So
I completely agree with you. I mean, because Casey said yesterday, what is so special about Spinneys? I mean, I didn't think that it was that successful. And she didn't do it. She didn't say it negatively, but I can understand. But when you compare it to Schwitram's, for example, it's really savvy. It's really it gives you that feeling of coziness, but also luxury. Grocery shopping almost, right? It was the fanciest supermarket compared to other supermarkets.
that is
We
true.
had Fine Air back in the day. That was lovely as well. Then it shut down. Actually, we need to look into that. I don't know whatever happened to Fine Air. But then Waitrose came here to the region as well, and Waitrose also has that more high-end feel of grocery shopping. So Spinneys, there you go. Set to have a market cap of $1.5 billion. Beautiful to see.
It
Spinneys.
honestly, and yeah, and it's well deserved for Spinneys, because they've always they I feel like they're always on top of their game in regards of like groceries and vegetables, fruits, even food, which I think is like, because sometimes like I do see that back then when I used to work, there was like a spinach and sometimes I would not get lunch. However, I would want something that's like clean and healthy. And I think I would go to spinach and they would have like amazing, amazing food. And I'd be like, okay, that's my lunch, I guess.
Yeah, no, great point. That food on the go, the lunch that they offer is wonderful, very affordable. The sandwich is absolutely brilliant. So yeah, great point, Farah. Moving on to because I'm getting really hungry now. So moving on to Nakheel has been in the news recently, obviously with mergers, acquisitions, etc. Management changes, but a lot has been going on in this company ever since Sheikh Mohammed announced the merger, Nakheel and Maidan into Dubai Holding. The CEO of Nakheel, Naaman Atallah, resigned, and then we got an exclusive yesterday that reveals three more chief execs. Well, not chief execs, but top senior management. So the chief commercial officer, chief assets officer, chief legal counsel have all resigned from their roles at the company. You've got Rasha Hassan, that's the chief commercial officer, Omar Khoury, chief assets officer, and Ayman Hamdi, chief legal counsel. So they have all departed just days after the group CEO design. Moreover, Emirati Muhammad, he has worked on several of the company's, most prominent projects, the Jumeirah Islands, the Jebel Ali Village, Jumeirah Park, and Dubai Islands. But apparently, Rashid has Rashid wants to retire, so not so much the. It's time for him, I guess. It's time.
I think
So
honestly,
that is it for yeah, go ahead, go ahead.
oh yeah, sorry, but it was kind of like lagging, so I thought that you just like went quiet, but yeah, just continue. Yeah, I'm so sorry for cutting you off. It just like
No,
lagged.
worries. No worries, no worries. I think it was lagging. Yeah. There is some gossip about Nakheel, but overall I think it's gonna be really exciting to see what happens here. Maidan have some amazing properties. We were talking about that the other day. Nakheel also, the Nakheel Mall, just West Beach also, brilliant stuff from Nakheel. Atallah was credited with a lot of that, so sad to see him go, but looking forward to that, and let's see if we can get you some, if not all, of the gossip. Not all of it, but maybe a little glimpse into that. Moving on to something very interesting. I think you're gonna like this topic, Farah, because it has to do with consumers, and I personally love this topic also. If you don't show up, we don't get paid. That's according to a salon owner of Headcase Salon. She said consumers shouldn't cancel last minute, and she's telling them that we won't, people at the company won't get paid their salaries. Do you think that's fair? Because she is getting backlash in the comment section, online. People are saying that's the employer's responsibility and that employees need to be paid anyway.
I agree. I mean, honestly, that I don't agree with the fact that, if let's say the consumer does not come or show up to their appointment, that they should not get paid. It's like it doesn't make sense at all, and it's kind of like unfair because like I feel like if a person is physically there at their job, whether they're waiting for a customer to come in or the consumer who booked an appointment to come in, they should get paid if they're physically at their job.
Absolutely. That's what a lot of people said in the comments. I will read some of the comments under the post. Someone said, "Why would you put the burden on staff for cancellations? Also, I don't think it's fair to compare your earnings or the lack of it to staff. It's the enterprise's responsibility to ensure no or low cancellation." And then someone else said, "Such clients who cancel can be tagged in the system. So simply just apologize from such people for future bookings. So don't let them book Again, someone else said, good luck. It's been tried in many areas before and never worked. Oh, sorry, I forgot to mention. She wants to charge customers who cancel 50% of the cost of the appointment for whatever service that they booked.
Who hurt you?
I do understand, and restaurants were doing this for a while, right? You had to pay when you booked. They were doing that before Corona, then during, like, after Corona, or kind of during Corona, when it was the country was half open, half closed, we had the curfew, et cetera. They were doing that also because a lot of people were canceling, they needed the money. I do understand, but again, there are different solutions. I just don't think consumers are gonna pay that, 50%. They're just gonna stop going there. So this guy is saying, and I agree with him. He said, good luck. It's been tried in many areas before and never worked. He has a point, like F&B I just mentioned. He said, you just lost many customers who would show up, but I don't respect such policies, he said.
Look, I feel I've heard this before several times that in a bit from a business perspective, the customer is always right, you know? And let's say it's different from like F&B to, I don't know, beauty and salons. Because like when you are or during COVID, when you would book a table for let's say three or two people, you're taking the space of someone who actually wanted to come. And with COVID, they were practicing like, you know, like some distance, which is like fair enough to have them, you know, I don't know, pay a certain amount of money if they cancel. But for like, I don't know, for salons, then I think that's like kind of like unfair. You know, it's like you are technically, I don't know, I just feel like it's kind of like unfair. Like why, you never know what happens with, you know, like I don't know. I feel like it's sometimes some things can happen during your day that you just like need to cancel the appointment. And
Yeah, I mean, you have a point. Definitely things happen. And she says in the video, she says, we understand that things happen, emergencies happen, but we have a business to run, she's saying. Someone commented something, and they said, this is how a lot of businesses work, because what the salon owner is saying basically is that the staff work with commission, right? And commission. So that's why she's putting more of the responsibility on the customer not to cancel. So this person is saying this is how a lot of businesses work. The staff can actually make more this way too. Gyms do this with PTs, personal trainers, and other sales-based positions. This is normal practice, salary plus commission. It's actually not normal practice. It's not a great practice unless you're really, the commissions are high, you're making a lot of sales. Otherwise, sometimes, these businesses take advantage of staff, right? Because you should have a basic salary. And I know for a lot of real estate agents, for example, it is that way where you don't have a salary, you only work on a commission basis. But a lot of those agents do suffer as well. So
that's true.
because of that, so.
No, that is true. So I don't know. I just don't agree with the fact that, you know what, if let's say a customer cancels, then you know the I don't know, staff does not get their salary.
Let's see how it goes, because she is getting backlash online. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes, and maybe we can get her on the show and try to understand her point of view a little bit better. Moving on to something related to the rain yet again. UAE insurance companies are taking a bit of advantage of people. They're raising prices by 30% following the storms. It's not great. They're raising premiums. Obviously, a lot of people's cars got ruined, people's homes got ruined. Claims are surging up to 400% for some of these companies. So a lot of people are suffering. It's just really in bad taste, isn't it? People commented, said, this is the most unethical business behavior insurance companies are doing. One storm and the spike to cover their losses from other areas. Some authorities should put a clear red line on them. Someone else said, after all those years of profiting on premiums, one freak storm in 75 years, they punish their clients to over profit again, as hopefully the UAE will not be hit like this again for another 75 years, inshallah. I think he meant just what, yeah, Prophet one time. Someone else said this should be illegal. The UAE government needs to step in and regulate like they did housing rental.
I see the I see their point of view, but I think business is business. You know, the moment they see that something is the demand of insurance has gotten higher after the rain that has hit on the 16th of April, right? So of course insurance companies are going to be like, yeah, let's make use of that and just make more business and more money with that and just like increase the price. But I do see the the consumer's point of view, because like, why would you increase the price now for a storm that might happen in 75 years?
I mean, they just want to take advantage of the situation. The tow trucks were also raised prices massively, right?
Yes.
What from 150 dirhams to up to 500 dirhams. Someone made a good comment. They said, greed, just charge an extra flood cover, and the ones who want will take it. But yeah, obviously if they're gonna make more money, they're gonna, it's not surprising. It's just in bad taste, because they could have made an impact, right? So that they could have, yeah, I don't know. You know what? Let's look into maybe some insurance companies are helping out some consumers. Doubt it, but let's look into that. What is that guy called? Alfred
Oh my
Insurance.
God, yeah, he's everywhere.
Let's talk to that guy. They're everywhere. So let's get someone from that company on the show. Last but not least, Swvl has posted $3.1 million in net profit, 13% net margin, and an eightfold growth in gross profit. Wow, Swvl! Like, everyone thought that they wouldn't really make it. It's been a bumpy ride for Swvl, but how amazing to see it really thrive. So it's Egypt based. Have you been to Egypt? Did I ask you this before?
Sadly, no. It is on my list of places I would want to go to, but no. Have you been?
I have been to Egypt several times, actually. I've been to El Gouna. I went to the film festival hosted by Naguib Sawiris's brother, whose name just totally left my mind. Beautiful, beautiful place. Cairo as well. Really fascinating. I'm going to quickly just mention a couple of kind of bullet points about Swvl, because we are soon going to run out of time. Gross profit increased more than eightfold to $4.1 million from 0.5 million in 2022. Operating profit at $12.1 million compared to an operating loss of $80.2 million in 2022. Stay tuned, by the way, for speaking of losses and profit, we're going to talk about Anghami on tomorrow's show. We're going to have a story for you today. Earnings per share for Swvl, a profitable growth boosted basic earnings per share from continuing operations to $0.61. They ended the year with a strong balance sheet, no debt, and an equity value that more than double of that the previous year at $5.9 million dollars. So I'm not going to go through all of the information, but really, really good it's just a beautiful story, isn't it, Swvl? And the founder put a lovely message on his, it was like a love letter to Swvl. He put it on LinkedIn and he said, you know, nobody believed in us, but we made it. And I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about that post.
This is every success story. They don't believe in it, then they make it.
Then they make it. Yesterday I was going through my photo gallery on my phone, and I saw pictures of my office of my company, which I shut down, 971 Media House and Frankly Magazine. And I was looking at the office and I felt really nostalgic for that. So yeah, I mean, it's okay though. It's okay. And I have it on my bio, you know, it's a joke, failed entrepreneur. It's not really failure if you try. I think I still have a lot to learn before I open my own business. And also, I wouldn't open a publishing business, I'll tell you that. I wouldn't open a media business. I can't call it publishing, but I wouldn't do it just because, you know, it's crazy how ahead of its time Love in Dubai is.
Yes.
You know, everyone was kind of criticizing it at first, but you know, the fast news, social media news, it's the way everyone is consuming news nowadays. So it's just, yeah, it's crazy. So I wouldn't open personally a media business right now, A, because I would need the protection of thank you, Augustus Media, for the stories that I write. We're doing more positive stories, guys, okay? And
Yes.
any success stories, please do come to us. But it's a tough world out there. So yeah. Tough, exciting, but yeah, would you ever want to open your own business, Farah?
Oh yes. Oh yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe I would open like a bake
A
like a
bakery.
because it's not a bakery, just like I love, you know, baking and all of these things. I love being in the kitchen, just gets me, I don't know, in a very nice energy mood.
You know,
So yeah.
the CEO of Rack TDA, Rack Tourism, Racky Phillips, Rack and Rack, just thought of it now. He used to work in a lot of, I think he used to work for, he opened several F&B outlets, but he also loves baking. And he opened Sugar Moo. And I remember I first interviewed him in a very small kind of office slash back kitchen somewhere in Persia. You know, they had just started out and they were really excited about it and really passionate about it. And it's just insane how much it's grown, Sugar Moo. It's actually one of my favorites.
Really, I don't know. I've never tried it, but because like the things that I make are mainly like very healthy and they taste amazing. For example, like I have the Snickers, this healthy Snickers bar that is sugar-free and gluten-free as well.
Wow.
Yeah, it tastes exactly like Snickers.
Does
And I have,
it
sorry.
be honest? Does it actually taste the same?
Yes, and I think our colleague Masa can confirm that she's tried it several times.
Okay.
Yes.
In that case, I'll take your word for it. I was talking to my mom yesterday and she said, Lubna, do you like, well, sorry, but a few days ago, she's in Moscow now, but spoke to her about, she said, do you like dark chocolate? I said, no. She said, why? I said, because imagine you're eating chocolate, you want to eat chocolate, and you actually make the active choice of eating dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate is really yummy. I can assure you that. It's how, for example, like it's a lot. I think we need a full on sit down, you and I, and I can explain it all to you. No,
Is it the bitterness? Is it, what is it?
it's how you, for example, like what I do is I like to melt some dark chocolate and I put some peanut butter with it and just like a pinch of like sea salt on top
Oh,
with
nice.
some, oh my God, it tastes amazing.
I'm sensing a chocolate business for you in the future, Farah. This is turning into a cooking slash bakery.
Exactly, it is.
Still as interesting, you know, Martha Stewart, one of the most well-known women in the world, even more so after her jail sentencing, but yeah, the prison sentence, how iconic, tax evasion. Anyways, shout out Martha. Thank you, Farah, for your time. Really enjoyed this conversation today, actually, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. Smashy.tv for the video, and you already know where to get us for your podcast. See you tomorrow.